Our scripture this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Oh. Okay. See, he's spooking me over here. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There's a young man by the name of Johnny, and Johnny and generations of his family had lived in northern Michigan, and there had been a story that had been passed on generation to generation for years. And the story was that Johnny's great-grandfather, and father all walked on water on their 21st birthday. And so finally became time for Johnny's 21st birthday. And Johnny said, if they can do it, I can do it, right? So he rented a boat and he went out to the lake and he paddled to the middle of the lake. And he thought to themselves, if they can do it, I can do it. And he stepped out of the boat and he sank. He sank all the way to the bottom, barely made it back up. He went back discouraged to his grandmother and said, Grandmother, I don't understand. We all heard the story about how my great-grandfather, my grandfather and father all walked on water on their 21st birthday, but why can't I? This is our second Sunday in dealing with the theme, stress out. And our purpose is not to invite you to get stressed out, but we want to kick stress out, all right? We want to get done with it. And it's interesting, last Sunday, we realized that everyone goes through times of stress. After the sermon, I talked with people, and someone told me that they were having stress about a family member. Someone else told me that they were having stress about a job. I go to Marquette Manor Retirement Center at 2 o'clock and do a service there, and a 96-year-old lady told me, Pastor, I almost walked out of the service when I looked at the bulletin and saw the title of your sermon. She had just lost her husband 2 days earlier. We all deal with stress, and here's a question for you. What do you do? What do you do when you're stressed out? What do you do when you're feeling anxious? What do you do when you need a miracle? And here's what I want to challenge you. Be a miracle. What do you do when you need a miracle? Be a miracle. Be a miracle in someone else's life. There's a famous saying that says this, God has no feet to go except your feet. God has no hands to heal except your hands. God has no voice to encourage except your voice. And God has no arms to embrace except your arms. And I believe this. I believe that God will place people on your path that you might be able to be an answer to their prayer. Let me tell you specifically what I'm talking about. There is somebody who is lonely and needs a friend. You can be an answer to that prayer. There's someone who got a bad medical report, and they just need a sign that God is still on the throne, and you can be that sign to them. God has placed people specifically in your path for you to encounter that you might be a miracle to them. Joel Osteen tells a story, I really like this, about his brother who's a doctor who's in Africa, and he's serving, doing a missionary work there, and what he's doing is helping out a remote village that didn't have any doctors. And this village hardly has electricity, just a couple of hours a day, very little medical supplies, and no doctor at all. He's the only one there. So they bring in a man who'd been gored by an elephant tusk. The elephant tusk almost went all the way through him and then out. Lost all this blood and he needed surgery. So here is Dr. Paul, was his name, is working on this man. And he's getting ready to have surgery. And he goes to the blood supply and guess what? It's empty. There's no blood. Dr. Paul could say at this time, well, I'm sorry, brother. I wanted to help you, but you need a couple of pints of blood, and there's no blood, so today's just not your lucky day, right? Dr. Paul could have prayed, God, you got this man here who needs blood. You need to do something. And God said, I did do something. I made you to be a miracle. And so before Dr. Paul did the surgery, he donated his own blood. And what I want to do is say this to you. I believe that we all have it in us to be a miracle for someone else. Can you do this with me? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you have it in you? No. Help me out here. I'm not up here by myself, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have it in you to be a miracle. Let me just tell you something about being up here. You know, I'm not alone, right? I know God is with me, but I know you are with me as well. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, lo, I am there in the midst. So this isn't just Pastor Joe giving the message. We're giving this together, right? Every time we say amen, every time we agree, every time we even think back and we think, you know, I can think of a situation and that, we are sharing this message together. We're being a miracle. I don't want you to get me wrong, though. I'm not saying that you have to help everyone. I'm not saying that I want you to stress yourself out even more or stop by every single street corner and give to every homeless person you see. I'm not telling you to grab a hold of every single person's burden. I'm not saying that. We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Everyone can help someone. You've got it in you. But for most of us, the problem is not saying, no, I won't help. The problem is really saying, yes. Yes, I will help. And the reason why is we get self-absorbed and we focus only on ourselves. Here's a principle I learned, though. And the principle says, the more you have, the more you can help. And I believe that because the Bible says this. It says, to whom much is given, much is required, right? But then I also believe the reverse of this. Change those words around, Mark. The more you help, the more you have. Do you believe that? I mean, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? But the more you help, the more you have. Think of Jesus. Jesus owned no property. He didn't have land. He didn't have all of these kind of things. And yet he was so rich. Why? Because he gave richly. It says this in Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. There's a time when Jesus was confronted by a lawyer, and the lawyer said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he says, the other thing is, love your neighbor as yourself. Say that with me. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Help me out here for just a second. Turn to the person beside you and say, I love you. Oh! Okay, stop right there. Now, how many people didn't do it? Be honest. All right, some of you didn't do it, right? Some of you didn't do it. You're like, I don't know this person. I'm not going to say it. Stop just for a second. How are we supposed to be obedient to this and love our neighbors who are out there when we don't even want to say I love you to the people that are right here in the church, right? The lawyer, that's not enough for him. Who is my neighbor, he asks. And Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a man who's walking and he gets jumped and robbers beat him up and they leave him for dead on the road. And a priest comes by and the priest looks at him and he says, oh my gosh, that dude needs a miracle. I'll pray for him. And he keeps walking by, right? Next guy, a Levite, comes up. Maybe the Levite does a little better. Maybe he gets a little bit closer and is like, man, he sure got himself into a mess there, you know. And he keeps on walking by, right? And I want to say that I believe that sometimes there are things that keep us from being a miracle. There's two things that I want to make a point about. The first thing that can keep us from being a miracle is this. We can get too religious. And you're like, wait a minute, we're in church. How do you get too religious? Well, the way you get too religious is you begin to think like, well, I would stop and help, but I got my choir robe on. And, you know, I can't get my choir robe dirty before I go to church, you know. I got my Sunday clothes on, you know. I can't help somebody change a tie, you know. Or we think, I'm above that, you know. Send the youth group to go and do that. That's too, you know, I'm high and mighty. In 1995, Pope Francis did a foot washing service on Maundy Thursday at a refugee camp that had migrants that were there. And there were 12 migrants that he washed their feet and he kissed their feet. And they included Muslims and women. And some of the cardinals tried to convince him not to do it. They said, after all, you're the Pope. And Pope Francis reminded them, you know, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Why should I ever think that I'm better than Jesus? If we ever get in a part where we start thinking, I'm too good to help somebody. Remember, Jesus got down in the mud when the man was blind and he spit in the mud and he took the mud and made a paste and put it on the blind man. If you ever think you're too good and too religious, just remember what Jesus did. And then here's the second thing that sometimes keeps us. We can get too judgmental, right? Bible tells us that our job is to help others, not to judge others and see if they're worthy of our help. We say, well, she's not living the right kind of life, so, you know. Or, well, it's his fault he got addicted to this or that, right? That might be true, but Jesus says this, it is the sick who need the doctor, not the healthy. And our job is not to judge. Our job is to empower. Our job is to encourage and to help and to restore and to preach good news and to be a light unto the world. So as you think about this, the challenge for us is how will we be a miracle? I'm going to tag team this sermon today. I'm going to ask my brother Jesse if Jesse would come up, and Jesse's got a part of this message. Would you welcome Jesse as he comes and shares? Damn, I got the tag team with you. All right, you're up. Oh, nope, use the microphone because we record it. You can use that one. If you want to use a microphone, Jesse, you can use that one.
This is out of my comfort zone, stress, but let's go for it. Religious, we can be too religious, and we can be too judgmental. Two really good points. But I understand with these two points, I've actually experienced this situation. I'm going to say about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was at work, and my phone rings, and it's Pastor Joe. This is going to be a good conversation, I thought. I answered it. And Pastor always says, Brother Jesse. I said, well, Pastor Joe, what can I do for you? He's like, well, I have a situation, and I'm just going to throw this out there to you, and just tell me what you think. And I'm like, okay, this can't be too bad. Well, Pastor Joe asked me if I would be willing to help a family out with a funeral service. I've never done a funeral service. Didn't even know where to start, where to begin. But my love for God at that moment, I was like, absolutely. So Pastor Joe sent me the information to the family. When I hung up with Pastor Joe before I called the family, I did what I always do. I pray first. Didn't get stressed at that moment, wasn't worried, wasn't nervous. I just prayed to God. So as I'm praying, you know, I'm looking up how to give a funeral service, what to do, the right things to say, what to be appropriate. And then I start taking scriptures and I start writing them down. And as I do this, and I finally get to that point where I feel comfortable, I reached out to the family. And guess what? No one answered. So now I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they found someone. God is good. But it was still on my mind. And I thought it again. Reach out to the family. Well, guess what? No answer. Again, I'm like, okay, God, thank you. But later on that evening, my son, he was injured. He poked his eye with a pencil at school, and I had to take him to the hospital, and you know, praying for that, and God, of course, was there, and my son was better, and it's about 11 o'clock at night, and this family finally reached out to me, and I introduced myself, of course, and they're like, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you, we were busy, and I can understand, and the death of a family member, it could be stressful, hard times, but I was guilty of judging that day. I figured that maybe they didn't want one, maybe they didn't need one, because the way that when they called me, they sounded intoxicated. And in that moment, I did judge, but also prayed. So the family member, the mother, was really, really upset, distraughted, and asking questions, why is God mad at me? God doesn't love me. God's not there for me. How can God take my son away from me? And again, I will say this, God is good, because everything I wrote down that I read upon, every scripture, just going from different scripture to scripture, to everything she came at me with, I was able to share that scripture with her to give her that peace, to let her know that God is with her. God is always with those who are brokenhearted in the time of need. So we end the conversation, of course, and they gave me a time to be at the funeral service, and it was at 12. They told me 12:30 the next day. I'm not stressed. Now I talked to the family members, and I had a little bit of more insight. Well, come the next day, they called me, and they changed the time on me. They just said, hey, can you just give an open scripture and just introduce the mom? That's all we need. God is good. I got that. Absolutely. I'm there. So now, you know, my confidence with the Lord and everything, I felt good. And then as I'm going, I decided to go early because I wanted to kind of see the family and try to pray with them before the service and everything. But as I'm on my way, I get a text message. Yo, where you at? It was from the mother. So, guilty of judging, I was like, what am I getting into? So I answered the text and I showed up. And like I said, we are all guilty of judging, even when we don't mean to be, when we have a good intention in our hearts. So here's my story and where I want to share it. As I pull up, the first thing I see at this funeral service was paddy wagons, police cars, sheriffs. Sheriffs that were out of their cars and all of their gear. And I'm like, oh no. So I decided to still go. And when I'm driving into a parking spot, I see people around my age. And being from the streets and growing up in the streets, I know what gangs are. And when I see people wearing bandanas and their hats cocked a certain way, colors, it represents gang activity. Tattoos, slang. So as I get out of my car, I am surrounded by marijuana. Smoking. All of these people were smoking marijuana. And I'm thinking to myself, it was easy for me to say, these people don't deserve for me to be here. But I had to pray, because I know I shouldn't be judgmental no matter any circumstances that I'm in. So I continue to go. And when I walk in, the funeral director came up to me, and then I introduced myself, and she shook her head at me, and she was like, get ready, because they are all over the place. No one knows what's going on. No one knows what's happening. And the reason all the security is here is because of all the drug paraphernalia that we had to pull out of the parking lot last night. We spent over 3 hours getting drugs out of our parking lot and inside the funeral service. So now I'm past the point of judging. I'm at the point of praying. I meet the mother. And when I was listening to, you know, I opened it up with a prayer. I called the mother up, and I started calling each family member up, friends up, because I had God by my side at this point. But when I was listening to some of their memories from unfortunately, you know, the deceased were, oh, we were just smoking blunts and doing meth and everything 2 days ago, and how could this be? And are talking about times they have stole things and run from the police. While they were sharing this, I was praying. I was praying for all of them because I know they needed prayer in my head. But towards the end of that sermon, when I was looking around, I think we can always be someone's miracle by our actions. We don't have to turn away. We don't have to walk away. But within the last moment, before I ended it with a closing prayer, and I just prayed to God within that second, I want to inspire them. You know, I want to let them know, God, how good you are. God, give me the words. Give me the strength. I just did me. You know, I related. I got on their level. I preached how God would, I feel like God was like, look, relate to them. So we all interpret the Bible differently. We all can bring how we praise God differently. So I see these people, and instead of judging them and walking away just saying, dear Heavenly Father, you know, he's in paradise, amen, peace, I'm out. I just looked at every single one of them, and I said, you know, out of respect for the family, I'm not going to say the name, I'll say it like this. I told them if they had any good memories of the deceased, because he did have good qualities, just to stand up and give him praise, knowing that he is with our Lord Savior. Everyone stood up. Everyone went crazy. Everyone went nuts. Everyone was very thankful and blessed. So when I was leaving, the first thing I did, I didn't say, God, thank you for getting me through that one. I called Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe, do you understand the situation you just put me in? Because sometimes, yeah, we can cause stress upon ourselves, but sometimes we can be put in a situation that's stressful. And it's when you want to do the right thing, it's easy to become someone's miracle just by praying. In the parable story, as we already know, the pastor walked by the traveler that was beaten, left half to dead. We know that the Levite walked past because they could have been too religious, too judgmental, or they could have heard that maybe if I stop and help him, that's going to happen to me. Good reason, unfortunately, fear. But one person, a good Samaritan, was walking by, seen him, took pity on him, went to him, bandaged him, treated his wounds with oil and wine, put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn. He didn't care. He wasn't stressful. Oh, I got to carry him on my donkey now. I got to walk. That could have been stressful. He didn't care. And when he got to the inn, he told the innkeeper, When I return, I will reimburse any expenses. He didn't stress over it because he became someone's miracle. We all hear, and I want everybody to raise your hand if you heard this within crying. See something, say something. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See something, say something. Mm-hmm. But my love for God, I look at it fun ways to just change things around. And I brought this to Pastor Joe, and I love this. I said, Pastor Joe, can I change that up? Can we, instead of seeing something, saying something, as Christian, to become a good Samaritan, how about if we see something, we do something, we become somebody's miracle?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And the last thing I want to leave you with is we're all instruments of God. God gives us all the tools we need to be someone's miracle. And within our church, we have these instruments. We have the Stephen Ministry. Sometimes a situation that's so stressful that you can't deal with and that can overcome, we're here for you. We will help you. We will help show you the love. We will help show you how you can take that stressful situation and you can start focusing on all of the God's good blessings and becoming miracles and becoming a miracle within yourself. And on that note, I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to come up here and share my story and everything. So thank you so much. I'm going to kick it back to Pastor Joe.
Thanks, brother. God bless you. So this isn't just a biblical thing to think about relieving our stress through helping others. Let me share with you a quote that's from the American Psychological Association. It says, when you focus your attention on the needs of someone else, your stress levels have been scientifically proven to go down. That helps minimize the impact of stress on your body, improves your physical wellness, as well as your emotional health. Now, not all of us are going to have opportunities where every day we're going to be passing by people that are beat up in the middle of the road, and maybe it's not a safe or a thing for you to do that. You don't feel that God is calling you to be that help. But I want to tell you, there are all ways that we can help. And here, let me just kick a few of them to you. You can pay it forward. You can go and help someone else out and pay for their meal. Here's the second way. Clean out your closet and donate. Here's the third way. You can volunteer. 40 different organizations that are within this church that go out and help others. Fourth thing is this, you can share the love. You know, the best things are still the things that are free. You can smile, you can encourage, you can hug, you can tell someone that they matter. And then the last thing I want to share is keep your eyes open. It's like exactly what Jesse said, see something, do something. This is keep your eyes open for God to put people in your path for you to be able to help. It's the opposite of being self-absorbed. It's observing the needs of others. All throughout the Bible, there are people that were stressed out, but then they decided to become someone's miracle. I'm thinking of Abraham and Sarah, stressed out because they can't have a baby. The angel comes to them and God says to them, guess what? Through you, all the nations will be blessed. You will be someone's miracle. Mary, she's stressed out about having a baby without being married. The angel says, the child that you have is going to save the people. You will be a miracle. Jesus on the cross, and there he is dying, and is he thinking about himself? No, he's thinking about saving the thief by his side. He says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. What do we do when you don't know what to do? When you're stressed out, when you're anxious? Be a miracle for someone. There's a quote by Albert Einstein, and it says, there's only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is though everything is a miracle. I like that, but I'm going to flip it around. What if we say this? There are two ways to live your life. As though no one was a miracle, or as though everyone is a miracle. So Johnny steps out of the water. Poosh! Sinks right to the bottom. Swims back up. Goes to his grandmother. He says, grandmother, help me out here. Explain this to me. All of the males in my family, from my father, to my grandfather, my great-grandfather, they've all walked on water on their 21st birthday. Why can't I? His feeble grandmother grabs his hand and says, see, honey, Johnny, you were born in July. Your father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, they were all born in January, okay? Church, it does not matter when you have your birthday. You were born to be a miracle. Amen.